Call your attention to the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 11th chapter. Actually, the same verses that we read on last Sunday morning, verse 1 and verse 7 through 9. The Bible reads, "And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives he senteth forth two of his disciples. Verse 7, and they brought the coat to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Supporting scripture coming from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter, verse 22. And I also read verses 33 through 35 and 39 through 42. Chapter 27, this 22nd verse, it was already read in your hearing. Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." Verse 33. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they cast lots. Sitting down, they watched him there, and they set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Verse 39, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." The base of those verses, we like to use a thought or a subject this morning. A lot can happen in a week. A lot can happen in a week. If you have a grip and you're walking hand in hand with God, then you're aware of the fact that every day things are not going to go exactly like you want them to go. And even though you may have that grip on God, God allows things to happen in your life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Not because he don't love you, not because he loves you any less, but just because he is God. And there are some things that God has to allow just to get our attention. Hallelujah. To make us realize exactly who we belong to. And then we need to be reminded on occasion that we are not the ones with the power. All power belongs to God. Hallelujah. On this Easter Sunday morning, God is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, Jesus. We had a wonderful time at sunrise service this morning. Hallelujah. We come into this household of faith one more time. And the reality is that it could be your last time. Doesn't matter how good you feel right now, how organized you are, or how intelligent you may be. You have control of some things, But there are a lot of things in life that you have no control over. Last week, we celebrated Palm Sunday, remembering our Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, a time when all the people of God were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Son of David, King of the Jews." And sad to say that by week's end, some of the same people were crying, "Crucify him," in a matter of a week. And sometimes we get bent out of shape when things happen negative in our lives, or somebody talk about us, or somebody persecute us, or somebody say that we don't have nothing. We tend to get bent out of shape, but we got to understand that even in the life of Jesus, a lot happened in the matter of a week. Life as we know it is so unpredictable. Things can be one way one minute, and the next minute before you turn around, it seems like everything has changed. I come to serve you warning this morning that you have to watch out for the tricks of the devil. You got to know that even on your bad day, on the worst day that you can recollect, it was still a day that you still had something to tell God thank you for. There might be someone under the sound of my voice right now that know that in your life, in my life, I'm going through. I really don't know how I'm going to make it. There might be somebody that body is in pain right now, and they're wondering, "Lord, how long am I going to suffer? How long am I going to go through?" And I just come to tell you this morning that in a moment, things could change. When we think about it, we only have life because of the creative act of and will of God. Because he breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and the Bible says we became living souls. The Bible also declared that it's in him that we live, move, and have our being. He loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son in the flesh just to die and rise from the grave. When he got up out of the grave, the Bible declared that he had all power in his hands. When he got out of the grave, he took the last enemy, death, conquered it by doing just what he said that he would do. For there hadn't been long that he had told the disciples, he had told many others that in 3 days, I'll die, but in 3 days, I'll get up out the grave. It's good to know that we serve a great and a mighty God, that even when we were yet still sinners, he died for us. I think that sometimes we either forget about it or we just take it for granted. I believe that if we really, really thought about what Jesus did for us when he gave his life on Calvary, I believe that we would try to get just as close to God as we possibly can. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be perfect, because that's almost impossible. But it does mean that you got a committed spirit to try to be more like Christ. We have been told, and we read in the Word of God, that we were bought with a price. And that price does not have monetary value. It was the precious blood of Jesus. And I wonder this morning how many of us have learned to praise God anyhow, despite what you might be going through. Life is so full of changes, and sometimes we are aware of the changes, and then there are things that will come up out of nowhere. Have you ever found yourself, everything was going fine, and out of nowhere, it seemed like everything just fell all apart? And as you begin to try to mend things, as you begin to put things back together, as soon as you get one thing worked out, something else is already torn up. This is the time in which we are living now. It's a very hard time. It's a time where one tragedy happens after another. The cost of living rises from day to day, but our wages seem to be either frozen or they're being cut. So it put us in a position to where we began to wonder, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it? But how many of you know that because you are a believer in the power of God, that is more than just mere words when we say that the Lord will make a way somehow? Has anybody ever experienced a somehow from God? See, I'm not talking about those people that got everything so all together that they just, everything just fall right into place. But I'm talking about those folks that when you really don't know where your next dime is going to come from, when you really don't know how you're going to make ends meet, but out of nowhere, God sends a blessing and that blessing comes just in the nick of time. And time passed, you might have been wasteful, but this time you realize I need that blessing and I'm going to use that blessing for what God gave it to me. Then you can get up and testify the Lord will make a way out of no way. Some of us, when we say the Lord will make a way out of no way, we already got somebody in mind who we think gonna make the way for us. That's not having faith in God. That's trusting your relationship with man. Again, you got to watch the tricks of the enemy. We have to remember Jesus teaches us. And as he was on his earthly journey, as he walked upon the earth, all he did was heal and teach and deliver. And he taught the people and laid out the plan of his life. Talked with the disciples and shared with them sound doctrine, gave them parables and examples of things to make things so simple that even a child could understand where he was coming from. Jesus was the one that walked along the way and he taught with such authority and with such understanding that even the people of God began to tremble even at the sound of his very voice. He took the 12 under his wing and he groomed them for a life of faith and service. He knew that there would be times when they would be persecuted. So that's why we have the Sermon on the Mount. Whenever he began to give the Beatitudes, he wanted them to know that, brothers, when you go through your hard time, you still got to have Christian character. You can't get bent out of shape just because somebody's talking about you. He said, blessed are ye when men persecute you and talk about you. And they might even call you everything but a child of God. But blessed are ye when you're able to endure all of your persecution, knowing that God is going to make a way somehow. Jesus taught them. Jesus laid out the plan of life, but many of them heard him, but did not listen. Jesus says that in this life, we are going to have trials and tribulations. But he also said, be of good cheer. Why should you be happy? Because I've already overcome the world. There is no problem too hard in the world that God cannot solve for you. Now, you may have some things that you think in your human mind that I just can't do that. But when you become a bona fide believer, can't got to get out of your vocabulary. You got to reach back in the word of God and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Do you know where your strength comes from? Or is your strength and all of your hope is in that dollar you got in your pocket? Do you know that God woke you up this morning for a purpose? And that purpose is not just to come to church out of formality. You come to church to lift up the name of Jesus. Anybody come in here this morning to tell God thank you? All we got to do is learn how to trust God. When trouble comes, we cannot lose our focus. Things can change from 1 minute, 1 hour, or even in the midst of a day. But this morning we're talking about a week's journey. I stress the week's journey because we've been going through what we call Holy Week. And we started this thing off last week when it was Palm Sunday. One thing that you have to understand is that on last Sunday, when Jesus got ready to go into Jerusalem, all of the people was praising him. It's funny how when things are going our way, we don't have a problem in telling God thank you. It's funny how when we realize that we are blessed by the best, that we don't have a problem in coming to the house of God and lifting up the name of Jesus. But I find this morning that there are those of us that don't understand that in this life of yours, there's something that you cannot predict what is going to happen. If you know God, then you know somebody that knows exactly what's going to go on tomorrow. As intelligent as you are, you don't even know what's going to happen today. You got up, you got your mind, you got plans. Some of you got plans this afternoon. Some going to services, some going to eat dinner, some going shopping, some going to do this, some going to do that. But you got to understand, is it God's will for you to be able to do what you got in mind to do? A lot can happen in a week. A lot can happen in one day. Have you ever noticed how you can get up one morning, everything is fine, before the midnight hour shows up, your body is so in so much pain. The devil has got on your track and on your back so much to where you can't find peace of mind. Anybody ever got up on a beautiful sunny day like today? And it ought to be sunshine. It ought to be joy. You ought to be happy. But there's a dark cloud hovering over you. A lot can happen in a week's time. As we look at our lives, we have made another week's journey. From last Sunday to this Sunday, as far as I know, none of you died. If you did, I didn't hear anything about it. So you had a whole week. Question. Anybody do any good last week? Question. Anybody do anything bad last week? Question. Anybody have any hard times last week? You see, what you got to understand is that in all of our individual lives, all of us did some right. All of us did something wrong. All of us in some way or another fell short on the glory of God. I don't have time to try to tell you what you did. I wasn't there. But all of us got to understand that in a week's time, we go through many different changes. Some we can help, some we cannot help. But let's not worry about us. One thing, it's not about us. Most of you don't care what happened to me last week. The only thing you understand is that I'm back here this week, so everything's all right. We go through the motions. But how many of you from one week to the next, unless you run into one another at Walmart or at the grocery store, you don't see one another? Unless you're good buddies, you don't call one another. So isn't it a good thing that we assemble ourselves together in the house of God? Sometimes we don't see one another from one week to the next, but from last week to this week, understand that it's all about Jesus. The Bible said Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem.
came in on a coat and they laid garments on the coat and they set him thereon and they spread garments out in the way, cut down palm branches. And after they cut down all the palm branches, they began to cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna, Lord God Almighty. They began to praise God with all that they had. The Bible declares that as they began to praise God, Jesus got into Jerusalem. He went into the temple and he looked all around the temple and checked things out. Bible said that he left and went back to Bethany. Well, come early Monday morning, Jesus got back up, left out of Lazarus' house from Bethany, and Jesus came back to the temple. Well, the Bible says Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the table seats and of them that sold doves, said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. A blind, lame man came in the temple and he healed him. The scribes and the Pharisees wondered what thing that he did, and the children began to cry, Hosanna, the son of David. Because the children began to praise him, the older people got a little upset. Said unto him, hearest thou what they say? Jesus said unto them, yea. Have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and suckling, thou hast perfected praise. So if you don't want to praise him, you see all them little babies in the Easter parade? God will let them praise him. That's what the words say. And he left them, went out of the city, went back to Bethany, and he lodged there. Well, Tuesday, when he began to come back into the city, got there and the Sanhedrin council challenged his authority. The Bible says when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching. And they said, by what authority do thou these things? Who gave thee this authority? They wanted to know, who gave you the power? Who gave you the authority to come in and to tell us this or to tell us that? We already got what we believe. Jesus answered and said unto them, also will ask you one thing, which if I tell ye me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? Was it from heaven or of men? They reasoned with themselves and they began to think about it. And they said, if we say it's from heaven, he will say unto us, then why don't you believe him? But if we say a man, then we will fear the people, for all the people loved John the Baptist because they thought that he was a prophet. They realized that he was a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we can't tell you, Lord. The Bible said, he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. It's amazing how folk try to make you justify yourself and they can't even justify themselves. Tuesday. Not only did he get questioned by the scribes and the Pharisees, but we also realize that when we look here in the Word of God, the same day, the Sadducees, which said unto them, there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now, therefore, were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. We got to understand that God has a plan for our lives. And we cannot change things from the plan of God. The Bible said, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul and with all of thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. If we love God, then we know that we are in his will. Because in order for us to be in his will, we got to love him. We got to know him as our Savior. We got to know that he will do just what he said that he would do. But now we also look here in the word of God. And the Bible said one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went into the chief priest. On that Tuesday, he went back there and he made a bargain. He began to let them know, I want to know if you would just give me 30 pieces of silver, then I'll find a way and an opportunity to betray the master. That's something. One of the very ones that had walked with him. One of the very ones that he trusted. One of the very ones that he had taught so many different things. But it's amazing how folk will laugh and smile in your face. And they'll still stab you in your back. It's amazing how sometimes folk don't want you to do anything for nobody. They didn't want the woman of God to do anything for Jesus. For even on that Tuesday evening when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman that had an alabaster box. And she had some precious ornament in the box. And she said, all I want to do is just anoint my Savior. But the disciples had trouble with it. The Bible says, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. You see, they said this ornament might have been sold for much. And we could have used that money to give it to the poor. But you better be careful how you try to tell God how to do his business. He already know what he's doing. He already know who stand in need of a blessing. We got to understand that on that Tuesday, he began to go through some different things. He began to let them know that she is going to make my body and prepare my body for burial. Because I realize that I'm going to die. In a couple of days, we're going to be observing the Passover. So now on Wednesday, he went around teaching all of the people all kinds of things. He began to share all kinds of parables. Then early Thursday morning, he told the disciples, I want you to go into the village. And when you get there, when you get inside the gate, you're going to find a house there. And when you see the man with the pitcher, I want you to follow the man with the pitcher and make ready for the Passover. Well, the Bible said that as he followed the man with the pitcher, he got there, they went to what they called the upper room. And in the upper room, they had what they called the Last Supper. We call it the Lord's Supper, but this was the last time that he would sit down and break bread with his disciples. The Bible said they were eating. Jesus took bread. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples. Said, take, eat, this is my body. He took the cup and said, give thanks. Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. In other words, we're not going to have this Passover dinner. We're not going to have it anymore around here. But I come by to tell you this morning that God has things all under control. For when we get over to the 27th chapter, the Bible says, in the morning, the chief priests and the elders and the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. When they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor of the land. I want to let you know this morning that you better stop listening to what everybody else said. Because in a matter of a week, a whole lot of things done happened. We went through the series of things that went through Jesus' life. But on that Friday, they began to crucify him. The Bible said Judas was the one that betrayed him. And when he realized that he had betrayed the master, and they really was going to kill him, the Bible said that he hung himself. Hallelujah, Jesus. I come to tell you that you better be careful how you do the man of God. Your conscience might be bothering you, but I know somebody this morning that know that God will make a way out of no way. And I stop by to tell you that on that Friday, when they began to crucify him, they tell me that they beat him. They spit on him. They made him carry his own cross. And as he carried his cross, going down Golgotha's hill, the Bible said, along the way, Jesus got weary of his journey. He couldn't make it anymore. But I heard that there was a man by the name of Simon. They said, come on, Simon, help Jesus carry the cross. He began to carry the cross. When they got up there, just before they got there, see, I done jumped the gun. That's why I don't like to speed up before I get my points out. You see, one thing I want you to know, that as they begin to crucify him, as they begin to have the trial, there's always somebody that gonna tell a lie on you. But I thank God that Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You don't know what you do when you go against the will of God. But I stopped by to tell somebody that as they passed by, the same folk that were saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, Hosanna, Hosanna. Now the Bible said, Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with this Jesus that you call the Christ? All of them said, crucify him, crucify him. Then the Bible said, they brought him into the palace, and he said, I find no fault in this righteous man of God. But they said, crucify him. He said, I can let somebody go. Barabbas or Jesus? They said, give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. So I stopped by to tell you this morning that in the matter of a week, a whole lot happened. They went from praise to persecution. But I thank God that he looked over all of that, went on to the grave anyhow. They walked around him, mocked him. They look at the King of the Jews. He saved everybody else, but he cannot save himself. Come down off the cross. But if he had come down, woo! If he had come down, all of us would be lost. Everybody would be hell bound. No joy, no happiness, no deliverance, no salvation. But because of Jesus hanging on the cross, going to the grave, and on the third day, got up, just like he said he would, with all power in his hand. A lot can happen in a week. Look how we change. One minute they love you, the next minute they act like they don't know you. And these people walk with Jesus day by day. So now, don't you think you ought not be so hard on yourself when you see your shortcomings? Because if those that walk with him, if they didn't have sense enough to believe in him wholeheartedly, then what you think going to happen with us? Because the enemy is out to rob you. The enemy is out to paint a dark picture to make you think that there is no hope. But when I think about Easter Sunday, when I think about the resurrection morning, when Jesus got up out the grave, hallelujah, Jesus, he paid it all. He paid it all. Don't you know that there is not anything owed on your bill? Brother Alvin sang some time ago, the debt I owe, Alvin, I ain't got to pay it. Jesus already done paid it. He gave his life, his blood on Calvary for your sins and for my sins. And honestly, we take it lightly. Oh yeah, we take it lightly. And I'm not saying that because
You're not falling in the floor. I'm not saying that because you're not screaming to your lungs. But if we really trusted the power and have faith in God, we wouldn't be having to take no nerve pills. Because you call on the name of Jesus. And the Lord will settle your nerves. He will bring peace to your very soul. If you really believe that he died and he got up. Early that Sunday morning, when Sister Mary went to the grave and realized that he wasn't there, he had gotten out of the tomb. She was so excited that she didn't even recognize who Jesus was. But when Jesus called her name, hallelujah, Jesus, you ought to know the voice of the Master. She immediately knew who it was speaking. But you know what God said? He said, go tell my disciples that I got up. But now they got to meet me over in Galilee. They're not going to see me right here. I'm going to meet them in Galilee. There they shall see me. So let us always remember everybody that God created is important to God. Jesus died for us all. And because of his sacrificial death on the cross, we ought to have a mind to praise him. We ought to have a mind to trust him. And then, as rough as things have been, look at how we are making it. You ought to give yourself some credit that you got faith enough to endure. Because if you can make it through your hard times, when things get better, you will appreciate them even the more. And then you will be able to get up and give that grand testimony. Look where he brought me from.